Welcome to the Patricia King Podcast, a podcast where we explore God's vast love for all of us, as well as current and relevant prophetic insight to enrich your soul. Now, here is Patricia King.
The presence of the Lord is so thick. I woke up this morning to the rain and I thought, wow, what a sign. You know, especially in the desert, having rain, it's just such a sign of revival. And everyone that I've spoken to about 2023, every single person without fail has an expectation for it to be a good year. And you know what? You don't always get that. Not every year. Like, you know, I remember in 2020, you know, people saying, oh, I don't know about next year. I'm gearing up for it. You know, that was the language. And there was 2021 was an interesting year of collecting the nuggets out of it. But it was like, yeah, when it was over, it was yay. And then into 2022. And for me, 2022 was an amazing year. How many of you had an amazing year last year? It was amazing, but it's nothing compared to 2023. I've never actually felt such an expectation for a year as I have for 2023. So believe big. Believe real big. And I have, like, there's such a prophetic environment here. And I'm just getting a bunch of downloads right now. So I'm just going to release some of these words and then we'll get into the message. But I feel that this word might be for actually someone online, but if the shoe fits, wear it, okay? So, like, that's the way the prophetic works, is that Lord can speak through so many ways and directions. But I kept getting during worship, a rolling stone gathers no moss. And so there's positive and negative connotations to that. But what I felt the Lord saying is that 2023 is a time to put roots down. And there's someone specifically who has a tremendous call on your life that God wants to prosper in the coming years. But what's happened is that you have made life decisions and you've made moves or choices. And then when it got uncomfortable or you didn't sense the grace for it, instead of breaking through, you moved on. And then the same pattern happened again. And then the same happened again and again. And so you never got your roots down and you never came into the prosperity of soul and of things in the natural and in the spirit that God has for you. And so I want you to seriously take that word to the Lord for 2023, because when it gets difficult, when it gets challenging, when you're confused about what's going on, I don't feel this is quite me, I don't know what to do, remember that it takes a while to get the roots in and anchored. Remember that, because if you keep moving and thinking, oh, that maybe the next move it'll come, it might not come in a few months or even a couple of years or so. It might take a while, but once the root gets in, it starts to flourish, okay? So I just feel so strong about that word. And then the other word is, I feel there's so many of you that God is going to give you wealth creation in 2023. And wealth is more than, you know, about money. It's actually a realm where you are able to be a blessing to others. So it's the ability to influence the world with the riches that God has endowed you with. And that's in the spirit and in the natural. But I see this wealth creation. I see the world that you live in being filled with light and life and goodness. And God's giving you the ability to create things. And I believe he's saying, just believe big to increase value in others and watch what he will do. And during worship, because over the last few days, there's a couple of people that I really, really want to help. I have a desire in my heart to help. And the price tag on it is it's going to take faith to do it, but it's in my heart. And so this morning, while I was in worship, the Lord says, I'm the God of Deuteronomy 8:18. And he said, I'm going to give you the desires of your heart this year. I'm going to give you the ability to create a wealth that will influence the people that you want to reach out to and the people that you want to love on. And so believe big. Don't have a cap on what God can do in and through you, because he wants to create wealth. It might not even be in your hands right now. It might not be in your life right now, but God's bigger than what you have in your hand right now. He's bigger than what your life holds right now. And he wants you to move beyond that in faith and grab hold of all that he can do because he wants to create wealth. And I do see a prosperity. I know it doesn't make sense in the natural because there's, you know, impending recession and all kinds of stuff going on around the world, wars, rumors of wars, all that kind of stuff. This does not make any sense. And that's the thing about the kingdom. It doesn't make worldly sense. The gospel doesn't make any worldly sense. But God wants to prosper. He actually wants to prosper. And I'm talking about tangible, material prosperity right now, okay? Not just spiritual prosperity. Tangible prosperity. And he wants you to believe big. And there's going to be opportunities. There's going to be entrepreneurship opportunities. There's going to be opportunities for you to increase financially, increase in houses and lands. You're going to be able to acquire things that you thought, how did this happen? It just dropped in my life, you know? And he says, put your faith out for that because he wants to create testimony in your life of his goodness. And when you share the testimony of what God did in you, it's going to create faith in others. I was sharing testimony just this last week with some people that aren't close to God, let's put it that way. And I was sharing provisional testimonies and they just lit up. They thought, can God really do that? And we believed for one of them because they had a desire of their heart and within days that desire was met and they knew it was God that did it, right? And so come on, let's create those testimonies for his glory. The other thing that I'm getting right now, and I'll unpack this more later on in the week, but what the Lord showed me during my prayer time very, very clearly is that there's going to be some massive breakthroughs for his people in 2023. And I'm not talking about a moment of breakthrough. I'm talking about the ability through his grace to lock in, to lock into his promise and to war with the promise and to stand on the promise. And it's like the mountains are going to move. The resistance is going to move. The things that you've been believing for is going to move. And when it is conquered, when that victory comes, it's not going to be for a moment. It's going to be for decades. And I won't unpack all the scriptures right now, but there's some that says, and the Lord gave them the victory and there was 80 years of peace. 80 years. And that's shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. 80 years. 80 years. Imagine yourself 80 years from now. Some of you will be in glory already, right? But it's like, imagine your whole life being in shalom for the next 80 years. And in other portions, it says 40 years, 70 years. It's like decades. When you get the victory from the Lord, it is decades of peace, of shalom. And I see that so clearly. And I just stand. And you know, life has got its issues, right? You know, Jesus said, in the world, you'll have tribulation. And so that is going to work for you, not against you. Do not despise a good battle. Do not despise the resistance that comes against you. Do not despise the hardships in life. Embrace them. Not embracing the hardship itself, but the victory that is promised for you inside of that hardship. You can say, you know, I just feel a testimony coming on here. Whoa, okay, devil, you'll be sorry you ever tried. This one's going to be written down in the archives of glory because I win, right? So life has its issues. Life has things that will come your way. But, you know, I was sharing with someone this morning, it's like going to a gym, you know. Why do people pay for gym memberships? They go in and they have to do resistance training. They have to, like, push weights. They have to do things that push against a natural muscle, right? You know, and they pay for it. I don't get that because I do not hold a gym membership and probably never will. I'm kind of like resting in the Lord, you know. But anyways, gyms work that way. It's because you create a resistance so that you can build your muscle. And that's what life will do for you. And if you haven't read my book, God's Law of Attraction, I highly recommend it. Because whatever you believe in your soul, whatever your soul's position is, that's what you're going to attract to yourself. Yeah. So in your soul, if you are negative and thinking, oh, life is so hard, oh, this situation's so bad, oh, this is terrible, all that, guess what? You're going to attract more. But if you see it, wow, I smell a victory coming on, guess what? That victory is going to be drawn to you like metal to magnet. It'll be drawn to you. And so I just want to give a shout for the Lord this morning, for the great victor that he is. Amen? He is a great victor, and he's going to give you victory after victory after victory. If you only have one battle, you're only going to have one victory. But if you have multiple battles, you'll have multiple victories. You'll have testimony after testimony. Now, not that you're going to want to invite the battles, but they just are there. You know, and some of them are little, some of them are big, but they're all designed to make you strong. But it's your choice. You can let them take you out or take you up. Amen? So, anyways, those are a few things. I just feel such a prophetic flow right now. I just, I just want to pray right now. I'm so excited about this year. So, Robert Hodgkin and Benjamin Dietrich are on their way. As we are here, they are on their way to Moscow, and they are going to be engaging in a conference with 3,000 Russians that are gathering together to worship Jesus with all of their heart and who are hungry as blazes for more of God. And God has appointed this house to be a sending center, an apostolic center, where we celebrate the gospel going out to the nations. And I want to pray for them right now. And also, there are people traveling right and now for the revival school. Ben and Jody and Poured Out Ministries are hosting their revival school this week. It starts on the 4th, and it is going to be amazing. And we're going to be immersed with, what, about 25 students. You have 25 hungry people for revival. And they're coming and they're driving in. As we're here, we just saw, you know, a picture of one carload coming in. They're coming in by the carloads into Maricopa to receive of the Lord. And, you know, it's marked by rain, right? Today is marked by rain. And so we're so excited. And just the partnership we have with Poured Out Ministries, with Ben and Jody and the family that we have here, it's so fun. Doing life together, right? It's so fun. And seeing the nations impacted, you know, even like just what's going on in Cambodia right now. And Andrea's coming home soon, I think. I mean, that's the plan. So we're just going to pray her in. And Carl and Kenda and others went to see her. We're over in Cambodia. I mean, it's just amazing. The whole world is opened up for us to proclaim the gospel. It's going to be an amazing year. So let's join in prayer right now. Father, we just thank you so much for Robert, and we thank you for Benjamin as they're traveling today to Moscow. We thank you, Lord, that Russia will be saved. And Lord, you love Russia. You love Russia. And we're not moved by the reports that we hear. Most of them are lies anyways. We're not moved by the lies that the secular media puts out. We're moved by the truth in your word that says the nations are yours. All the earth is yours, and the fullness of it is all yours. And Lord, we rejoice that Russia belongs to you, and that Russia is going to be blessed by Robert and Benjamin and Darren and the other speakers that are going, Lord God. And I thank you, Father, that the word is going to go forth. Miracles, signs, and wonders will come. Revival rains will fall on the people, and there will be refreshment, and there's travel mercies and blessings in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for all who are traveling right now to the revival school. We thank you, Lord, that their hearts are so quickened by you, and that you'll fill the vehicles and the airplanes, however they're getting here, with just anointing and Lord, with expectation, with prophetic revelation being poured into them, with encounters in you, and even along the way that they'll get to preach the gospel. And Lord, we thank you that you are sending angels to watch over all of them that are traveling, in Jesus' name. Woo! Oh, I just see nations. I see nations being impacted. We got a whole team from our church going with Benjamin and Tara's ministry over to Israel next month. I'm telling you, it's going to be an amazing year. Woo. Okay. Well, now that I'm good and drunk in the Holy Ghost, let's have a look at. In 2 Chronicles 20:20, it says that there's value in the prophetic. It says, if you listen to the true prophetic word that comes through God's prophet, it will prosper you. It will put you on a right path. And as a house here, we believe in accurate prophetic unction. And when we hear from the Lord what is on his heart, we want to align with that. And every time we have, we've been blessed. Year after year after year, we just keep getting blessed more and more. People have even tried to curse us, you know? We've actually had situations where people have cursed us. I mean, this was years ago. People saying, Shiloh's never going to make it. It's coming down and all that. I mean, they just try to curse us. But you see, it's impossible because we're blessed by God, right? We don't listen to the voice of the enemy's curses. We listen to the voice of God and obey him, and we prosper. And we'll always be blessed. And who God has blessed cannot be cursed. And so we're a blessed house. We cannot be cursed. I decree and declare it in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray for those who dare try to curse us. We pray that they'll turn around, and we ask for mercy for them and for blessing to come to know you in greater ways. But anyways, back to the prophetic. Okay. I was saying to Ben and Jody this morning, he said, are you excited about preaching? I said, yeah, but I've been in prayer for the last month, and you know, I've got to oil the machine, you know. And now I just can't seem to stop the machine here. But anyways... So, God is so good. So, the prophetic will edify you. It has a supernatural ability to actually build you. That's what edify means, to build. Specifically, to build up, okay? So, to make you stronger. So, as the prophetic goes forth and you witness with what the word of the Lord is and you align yourself with that word, it will build you in the spirit and it will build you up. It'll take you up higher in the Lord. It also will exhort you. That's a lovingly entreating you to a higher endeavor. Okay. It'll say, hey, you're here now, but this is where I want you. Come on up here. Okay. And it will also offer comfort or consolation. And I think especially in a day right now, I've been aware, according to some people's sharing, that there's a number of prophets who have been prophesying a lot of war in that. There's going to be war, maybe Third World War. Everything's, you know, going to get pretty rough and tough. And that might be a fact, but the truth is different than the fact, okay? And in the prophetic, in true prophetic, there always has to be a redemptive thread. Do not listen to a prophecy that creates fear in you. Ask the Lord to show you the redemptive thread. Ask him to show you, okay, what if there is a war that breaks out in the natural? What does that mean for me? What does that mean for the mandate that you've put on me? Because believe me, it's not going to be that which will baptize you in fear. It won't. You'll have more faith than you ever had before, not fear. It won't cause you to go into a cave and eat tribulation food. It won't cause you to hide yourself. It won't cause you to hoard or you know, just get all afraid. There's other prophecies that are out there saying, oh, there's going to be economic shortages. There's not going to be any food. Store up, store up, store up, store up the food because you're not going to have enough. But if there's fear involved in that, that's not true prophetic. That is not the result of a true prophetic word. The true prophetic will create faith. It will edify you. It will exhort you. It will console you. Now, if you feel excited about storing up food because you feel God's told you to do it, then go for it. Store up some for me too. I tried the storing up food thing a number of years ago. I've been hearing these warnings about food shortages since I was born again, by the way. Since I was born again, I've been hearing all these threats about there's going to be a food shortage. And I've watched people store their food. And I've watched it go bad. And that actually happened with us, too. A number of years ago, there was all these words going out, food shortages again. And I thought, I don't know about this. And they said, you're just not listening to the word of the Lord. And I said, well, I'm not getting the same thing. Yeah, but you're going to be sorry if you don't. So I thought, well, I guess I should be responsible and store up some food. So I think we bought about $1,000 worth of food and stuck it in the closet. Forgot about it. Year after year after year, it's sitting there. And when we moved, we had to deal with the food that was stored up in the closet. I don't know what we were storing it up for, but it was stored up there. And we looked at the expiry dates, and they'd all expired. So we had to throw all the food out. I thought, no, we're not going to do this again. What I'm trying to say is, don't let voices other than the voice of God, even if they say, this is the Lord, if it's creating a response of fear in you, do not listen. Ask God for the redemptive thread. What are you saying in this? And because God is so powerful, and he is so amazing, and he's going to work everything together for good. Now, that doesn't mean there might not be, like, maybe there is going to be a food shortage. But I'll tell you, if you're walking with God, he will show you exactly what he's going to do. When Israel went through the wilderness, he just rained it down out of heaven. They didn't even have to cook. I had to prepare a meal before I came to church this morning so that we could have something to eat after church. But they didn't do that in the wilderness, and they didn't have to clean up the dishes after either. God just took care of it. God is bigger than it all. So do not buy into fear. Even Jesus, when he talked about there'll be wars and rumors of wars, when they were asking him, what's it going to be like at the end of the age? He said, there'll be wars and there'll be rumors of wars. There'll be earthquakes. There'll be famines in all these places. But do not fear. Do not fear. So that's what you have to obey. Focus on the do not fear part, not on the wars and rumors of wars. Okay? Because it's going to be a very good year. And we're made for war anyways. We just war differently. Okay, here's the word of the Lord that I have for you. By the way, on Thursday and Friday night this week, I'm going to be doing a webinar. It's a free webinar, and it's on the prophetic. I'll do a little bit of teaching on the prophetic, but I'm going to deliver over those 2 days, 14 key prophetic words. And so it's free. You can sign up on patriciaking.com. And tell your friends about it, and we'll have a really good time unpacking this. I want to release impartation. I want to minister to those who are receiving the teaching, release impartation and prophesy. And so I think it's going to be a valuable webinar, so feel free to sign up for that. But this morning, I want to share one that's been on my heart all month. And it's out of Micah 4, 1 and 2. So we'll put it up on the screen and just read along with me, please. It says, and it will come about in the last days, everyone say last days, that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains. I'm going to read that again. That the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains. And it will be raised up above the hills, and the people will stream to it. And many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, so that he may teach us about his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For from Zion, the mountain of the Lord, will go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, over the last couple decades or more, there's been an emphasis on seven mountain strategies, seven mountains of influence, seven mountain spheres of society. You know, it's different language used depending on the speaker. But this has been very much highlighted by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's been highlighting it. And many years ago, I don't know how many of you are familiar with Francis Schaeffer. He's actually an evangelist to the intellectuals, really, is what he moved in. But there was him, there was Bill Bright from Campus Crusade for Christ, there was Lorne Cunningham from YWAM. All of them had highlighted this teaching over the years, and then Lance Wallnau back in the 90s picked it up, and others along with him, and started highlighting it. And it's been a Holy Spirit highlight of the seven mountains of influence. And we are called as the church to influence those realms of society. We cannot be confined into a church building or church meetings or church conferences. We need to go and let our light shine. We need to be influencers. We can't live inside of a bubble of goodness and promise and let the rest of the world go to hell. We can't do that. And therefore, the Lord has anointed us. He's anointed us with the Spirit of God to go and bring that light into dark places. And he has motivated individuals on certain aspects of society that we just feel, man, that's my mountain. That's my place of interest. That's what burns in my heart. Every time I pray, that's what I feel a passion for. And so the seven mountains of influence have been identified as religion. There's many religions in the world. It's not the church mountain, by the way. It's the religion mountain. Because the church, the ecclesia, is to go and invade the religions of the world with the gospel to bring the light into these realms. The Buddhists need Jesus. Muslims need Jesus. Hindus need Jesus. And so there needs to be releasing of the light into those realms of influence. There's a family mountain, the business mountain, the government mountain, the education mountain, the media mountain, and the arts and entertainment mountain. But the eighth mountain, or the chief mountain, as is described in Micah 4, is going to be the key one in this coming season. So I want to put up a graphic for you right now, just to give you a bit of an image. So we see the seven mountains, the religion, family, business, government, education, media, arts, and entertainment. But above it, we see the chief mountain. Now, I want to say this. If you are fully focused on a mountain of influence, let's take government, for example, because it's going to be big in this next 2 years. Government focus is going to be big. There's a U.S. election coming up, and it is going to take a lot of focus. If that is your area of passion, and you want the Lord to really minister his light and life on that mountain of influence, that's a good thing, and we need people to take their stand on that mountain. We need people to be a voice for the Lord on that mountain. We need intercessors for that mountain. But these mountains can become an idol. And you can begin to think, if this mountain is conquered and possessed by the church, then everything is going to be okay. Government will be the savior of the world. We get the right politician in, the right political party in, everything's going to be good. And that's not the way it is. I mean, the political system is a world system. It's not a kingdom system. So our job is to infiltrate that mountain with the truth, with the preaching of the gospel, with prayer, with the raising up of godly standard, with all of those things are important. And I'm not saying to renege on any responsibility on that mountain. But if we get stuck there, we're missing the whole thing. Because we have to ascend to a higher mountain, and that's the mountain of the Lord. And in Micah 4:1, it says, in the last days, this is what we're going to be streaming to. We're going to ascend higher because, you see, when you are on that chief mountain, when you're with the Lord, when you're with him in the heavenly places, you'll be able to see life through a different perspective. You'll see life through a different lens. You'll be able to get the mandate of the Lord to go and initiate it. You can ascend and then descend with the will of God into the earth. But if you're just stuck on a mountain, on an inferior mountain, if you're stuck on that mountain, and that's where all your focus is, it could become an idol to you. And so the answer is, in 2023, God's saying, come up here. Come up here and let me show you things. Come up here with me and see things through my perspective. Now, I just want to say is that I really believe there's going to be a new emphasis on the glory realm, the heavenly realms of God, and believers standing in those places and ministering from those places the word of God and the will of God. And this month, actually, at the end of January, we're going to be starting a 5-month glory school. I've got some more insight for it. And so I'm going to be mentoring the web church. This is going to be through the web church. It's free for web church members. And we're going to be going for 5 months every week into teaching and activation on how to ascend into the heavens and administrate kingdom blessings from that place into the earth, into your life and into the earth. And you're all welcome to join. You just have to join the web church to get it, because I'm only teaching it in the web church right now. And so if you want to join the web church, just go on Shiloh's website, and there's a tab there for the web church, and you can join it. And it's a great arm of Shiloh, by the way. So in that, we are going to position ourselves in the Lord for more. How many of you would like to live your whole life from a heavenly perspective? Instead of thinking the way the world does, that you're thinking the way that heaven does. Instead of experiencing the limitations of the world, you are experiencing the limitless bounty of God in heaven. How many of you would like that? Because that's what God is offering us in 2023. He's saying, come up here and let me show you things which you know not. Now, mountains in the Bible are often symbolic of places of worship, communion with God, and sacrifice, right? So Abraham, for example, it says in Genesis 22:1-18 that he obeyed the Lord and took Isaac up the mountain to sacrifice, right? And he knew that God was going to provide the sacrifice. He went up in faith and obedience, knowing that God would provide the sacrifice. He even said it, you know, but he went up to commune with God. We see Moses, he ascended Mount Sinai and met with God to receive the Ten Commandments. So he ascended the mountain in Exodus chapters 19 and 20. We also see that high places were mainly in reference to mountains or hills where pagan worship and sacrifice took place. And they were centers of worship to false idols and gods. Now, the devil will always counterfeit God's stuff, right? He's not a creator. He can only counterfeit. He can only copy, right? Never be afraid of him and never think he's got something new, because he's a loser. He's an established, committed loser. And he just has nothing to offer, okay? So stay away from him. But there are over 60 Old Testament references that show that the people would build sacrificial altars up on the top of high mountains. Now, to this day, if you were to go up to the high places in this area, you could see evidence of satanic altars, witchcraft altars, and that on the different mountains, except I think we've got enough intercessors in this region, they probably knocked them all off and established God's glory there. But in any region, if you do that, you will find that there are hills in that where they worship. Why? It's because the enemy knows that there is a mountain of mountains, and he's trying to get to the top. On the top of Mount Everest, it is loaded with satanic altars, the highest peak in the earth. The devil came to Jesus and he said, you know, I'll take you up to the high mountain here. I'll show you all the nations of the world. I'll give them to you. There's something about the mountain that is significant in the kingdom of God. And only those who know Jesus can mount the chief mountain. And that's you. And we shouldn't deny the privilege. We should not resist that privilege. We should embrace the privilege, saying, I have a right to ascend into the mountain of the Lord, and I will ascend. When Moses went up Sinai, and that's an inferior mountain, okay? When Moses went up on Sinai, the glory of the Lord visited him and imparted the Ten Commandments. I mean, it was written in stone by the finger of God, right? When the 70 elders of Israel went up with Moses up the mountain, present. They actually stood in the presence of God on sapphire streets, eating and drinking in the presence of the Lord. This is what happens when you ascend with the Lord. You commune with him. And so we have the privilege, and we need to take it seriously. It's not really an option. It's not, well, I don't know if I want to be the mountain group people. You know, I don't know if I want to do the heavenly stuff. You know, I'm just happy to, you know, attend church. You know, the kingdom is more than attending church. It's about living with God in heavenly places. The mountain of the Lord, or the chief mountain, as it's called in Micah, it's called Zion. And of course, there's a natural Zion and a spiritual Zion that we see in the scripture. In Psalm 2:6, it says, "But as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain." Now, God established the Son, Jesus Christ, as the King of Kings. He's established on the holy mountain for all time. But you are kings and priests in him. Hebrews 12, 22 to 24. "But you have come to Mount Zion." You, believers, you have come to Mount Zion. We haven't come to a natural mount. The team that's going to Israel will stand on the natural Mount Zion. But we're called to spiritual Mount Zion. This is the chief mountain that we are called to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels. This is what you and I have been called to. In the glory school, we actually teach you how to position yourself in that place with all that life around you and live from that place. You're actually instructed very practically on how to do that. But this is where God wants us to realize this is who we are. This is how he wants us to live. We are different than normal human beings. We are not earthly beings trying to get into heaven. We are heavenly beings living in the earth. "We've come to the General Assembly and the Church of the Firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the Judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect," the great cloud of witnesses, "and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel." That's what you've come to. This is what every believer has come to. This is our privilege. And just as a little note, in Revelation, it talks about the heavenly Jerusalem comes down into the earth. But see, we have to be up in it first in order to come down. In Christ, you are seated on this mountain in heavenly places. Heavenly places is another word or another way of saying the chief mountain. Ephesians 1, 18 to 23 and 2, 4 to 7. Look at the words as we read it together. "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the boundless greatness of his power toward us who believe, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places far above." Say far above. "All rule and authority." Come on, say it. "All rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named." Not only in this age, but also in the one to come. "And he put all things in subjection under his feet and made him head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." That's who we are, church. We're revivals looking for a place to happen. We're kingdom light looking for a place to shine. We're not trying to get something. This is who we are, and this is where we live. We just have to shift our thinking. We have to shift our thinking from being worldly minded, locked into the systems of the world, the ways of the world, the thinking of the world. We have to ascend the chief mountain and think the way God thinks and act the way God acts. That's why Jesus, when he was in the earth, he said, "I only do the things I see my Father doing." Where was his Father? In heaven. That meant he was in heaven. He ascended and descended devotionally, just like you and I can. What a church this is. We're going to see God do such great things. "But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the boundless riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. This is the age that you are living in right now. He has seated you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are one in Christ so that he can show his boundless goodness to you and his kindness to you in 2023. Come on. Raise your expectation for it. 2023 is going to be loaded with downloads from heaven, and that includes miracles. There's no sickness in heaven. We can download it into the earth. There is a miracle dimension that we can bring out of heaven into the earth and see heaven manifest in the earth. And God needs you to help him manifest it. He's not looking for a church that's hiding out in caves. He's looking for a church who ascends and descends and ascends and descends and ascends and descends and knows the glory and knows the power of God. If Christ is in you, there is more power in you than you could ever imagine. But the devil has tricked so many believers and put a cap on our understanding. And this is all you are. And you can't do this. And you're that. And he labels us and makes us believe his lies, believes his limits. And it's all just lies. Heaven is a truth realm. The glory realm is a truth realm. That is the realm that we need to live in and hold each other accountable to in 2023. Do not believe everything you hear. Do you know that I haven't listened? I haven't watched secular news for almost a whole year now. Turned it off. I just thought, what? Oh, Jesus said in Mark 4, be careful what you're listening to, because it'll be measured to you according to what you listen to. So why would I listen to lies? And most of it is. Most of it's distorted. I remember having a meeting with Paul Kane just the year before he passed. And he was telling me a whole bunch of stories. He prophesied. He was a prophet, for those of you that didn't know him. Prophesied very accurately. Prophesied to a lot of presidents, kings, prime ministers. And he was telling a lot of different stories that were... you know, you could feel the presence of God fell as he was telling these stories. But the one that really captured my attention was, he said, I knew Saddam Hussein personally. Saddam Hussein used to call for me to come over and tell him about Jesus, and I prophesied over him. And he was actually a good man. That's not what you hear on the news. That's not what we're fed. That's not what we understand. We are hearing a lot of things about Russia right now. A lot of people were giving warnings, actually, to Robert, saying, don't go to Russia because it's too dangerous. Don't go there. And so we checked it out. I mean, in our spirits, we felt peace. We thought, well, we don't want to be irresponsible. But we checked it out. We found out what we're getting on the news here is totally different from what's actually happening. So why bother listening to it? Let's just go preach the gospel. Let's just go shout Jesus' name everywhere. Let's just go keep our eyes on what we know is true and not on what could be or should be or probably is a lie. What news are we listening to? And this is about the chief mountain. When you ascend the chief mountain, that's when you will know the Lord. That's a realm that you can live in. It's a realm of truth. And you get your mandates from that truth. That's why Jesus, he only did the things he saw his Father do. That's why you don't see Jesus involved in trying to fix the government of the day or trying to fix the economy of the day. Because he wasn't mandated by God to do that. But he was mandated by God to bring deliverance to a people, right? He only did the things he saw his Father do. If we would only do the things we see the Father do rather than responding to the news of the world, and especially as prophetic people, you be very careful not to be influenced by what you hear in the world. It's very easy to cross a line from the spirit to the soul. And if you're filling your mind all the time with all kinds of reports, even if they're reports from prophets, and you're filling your mind with certain mindsets, it's going to affect the choices that you make in life. And I want us as a congregation to have the spirit of the fear of the Lord, where we honor him, where he is number one, where we go to him before anyone else. Before we go to a Tylenol bottle, we'll go to the Lord for healing. And by the way, miracles, miracles, miracles in 2023, get ready. Because when you ascend to the mountain of the Lord, guess what you bring out of there? Power, 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 miracles. And we've just tolerated for too long that which is of the enemy. We need to take a stand. We need to believe for the miracles of the Lord. I was talking to some people over this last month about years ago when we started ministering in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, years ago, decades and decades, 40 years ago or so. You would have a group of, let's say, 200 people that you're ministering to, and then invite, is there anyone sick? Come forward, we will pray for you. And out of a group of 200 people, you might get 15, maybe 20 come forward, but not the whole room. But you know, recently I've been in meetings asking, how many of you in this room need a healing? And do you know what? Almost every single person puts up their hand. Almost every single person, every time you ask. What happened? What happened? And are we fasting and praying for healings? Are we believing for the shift? Or have we just thought, oh yeah, I'm sick, I'll go to the doctor. I'm sick, I'll go to the specialist. I'm sick, I'll go to the Tylenol bottle. I'm sick, I'll do that. And we talk about our sickness, sickness, sickness. Is it because we have not given him first place? Is it because he is not our everything? He is not number one in our life. He is not the number one physician. He's not the number one provider. He's not the number one father or mother that we think we need. That we just say, oh, well, I'll just try to figure this out myself and I'll go here because we're worldly minded. That's what being worldly minded is. But it's time in 2023 to be heavenly minded. And his ways are higher than our ways. His thinking is higher than our thinking. You know, in the world, we write people off when they don't, you know, treat us right or whatever. We just write them off. But is that what happens in heaven? It's not the way Jesus did it. We were all against him when he hung on the cross, and he forgave each and every one of us and invited us all to a life with him. He never cut us off. We make up these excuses because we're worldly minded, and God wants to call us higher. He wants to bring us to a higher ground in 2023. It's going to be a glorious year because we're going to become more Christ-like and we're going to become more heavenly. The Apostle Paul said to the Church of Colossae, Colossians 3, verse 1, he said, set your mind on the things above and not on the things that are on the earth. That's for 2023. Be heavenly minded. Be heavenly minded. Now, in Shiloh, we have prayer meetings every day. And if you've not been out to a prayer meeting, you need to start coming. Just come. They are amazing because you just keep your eyes on Jesus and you start just worshiping him and you lay everything else down. Say, all that matters is you, Jesus. I'm going to worship you. And as we're worshiping, downloads come. And we start connecting and communing with God and the will of God. It's been a glorious year. I've been revived myself, personal revival in 2022 because of the prayer meetings. It started at Passover last year, but it's just been amazing. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. And it's because of presence. You see, the presence of God, the heaven of God, the chief mountain of the Lord, it's not eons away. It's just a realm away. And we step into it by faith and we ascend in our worship. We ascend in our focus on him. And this is what God's offering you. No matter what happens in the world, you're not going to get the sting of anything that goes on in the world if you keep your eyes on him. Now, if you're going to jump into the cesspool of the world system, its fears, its intimidations, its threats, its ways, its purposes, if you get into that, yeah, you'll spiral down with it. And you'll live in the deception of it. God will still love you. You'll still be loved. You'll always be loved. And when you finish your life on this earth, you'll go to heaven. But is that how you want to live the rest of your days? Or do you want to live the rest of your days on the mountain of the Lord? Looking to him as number one, that he is your everything. He is your everything. This is not a year to divide your passion. This is not a year to say, I'll do a little bit of God and a little bit of the world. I'll give him my life on Sunday, or I'll give him when it's convenient to me. This is a time when we just jump in and put our whole self in the offering bucket. We ascend to the mountain of the Lord. God has such good things, I can't even begin to tell you. Psalm 23, by the way, is the actual scripture that God's given me for this year, and I hope to unpack it with you sometimes because there's some delicious prophetic insights in that. But one of the things is God's going to set a banqueting table before you. It's a feast on his goodness, a feast on his promises. He's going to set a banqueting table before you. Where? In the presence of your enemies. You don't even know that the enemies are up to no good because you're too busy feasting. Just a little foretaste of 2023. It's a year of revival. It's a year of miracles. It's a year of harvest. It's a year of good things. It's a year of culminations and reconciliations. It's a year of love, baptism in love, love for God, love for each other. It is an amazing year. And I'm going to ask you right now to consecrate yourself unto the Lord for this year. God wants to show you places where you can influence the world. If we could have that graphic just put up as we're closing. There it is. God's going to have you influence these realms of society. You've got light in you. It needs to shine. God's going to have mandates for you that need to be implemented and walked out. Ask him. He'll show you. He'll put burdens on your heart and just represent him beautifully. Don't get involved with the world swirl, like if it's world economy. Don't get into there's stuff out there that is not good. I'm going to be actually partnering with a ministry friend of mine to host a Kingdom Wealth and Business seminar that's going to be good because it's so focused on kingdom and not on the stuff of the world, okay? And we need to be careful because economy's going to shout. Education is going to shout. Government is going to shout in this next year. Media is going to lie. You know, and so be careful not to get into the swirl of it or take up the mandates that are inside these systems. And be especially careful in the political realm. Because I've had a clear vision on it of a vortex that sucks people down, that start fighting and contending for political agendas rather than God's, and getting the two mixed up. And I don't want that to happen to anyone in Shiloh. We want to exalt God. We want to honor all politicians. You know, they're all imperfect, and some of them we need to pray for more than others, probably. That's my opinion. But just stay focused on the Lord, because that's the chief mountain that we're going to ascend. It's the chief mountain. When you live your life on that mountain and you ascend and descend, then what you get on that chief mountain, you can bring down successfully into the other realms of society. Amen. Shiloh, we're going to influence our city, our state, our nation, the world. We are. It's what we're called to do. You are called for such a time as this. You are called to be a mighty man, a mighty woman of valor for the Lord in 2023. Don't let anything of your past define you. This is a new day. And God has great things. And there's going to be a shedding off of just the junk, the stuff that took you down in the past. It's all going to shed. And the life of God is going to rise up in you. Stand to your feet as we commit ourselves to the Lord for 2023. Oh, Father, we thank you so much for what you've shown us, for what your will is for 2023, for what your promises for us in 2023. We believe you. We believe we have a fresh invitation to ascend the mountain of the Lord, and that you are going to teach us your ways on that mountain. You are going to show us things that we know not, and that we are going to come down into the earth, out of that heavenly place, with strategies, with inventions, with wisdom, with authority, and with power. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves to you, Lord God, afresh on this first day, this first beautiful day of 2023. And we dedicate our lives afresh to you for this whole year, to use us as you will, and Lord, to do a work in us that you'll never have to begin again. And Lord, that there will be blessings that shower down upon us as sure as the rain has fallen from heaven in Arizona this very day. And we thank you, Lord. Just say out loud, I commit myself to you afresh in 2023.
For more information, resources, episodes, and more, connect with us at patriciakingministries.com.